All right, so we always hear about wildfires out in California, and I was looking over this podcast episode you sent over called Embers of LA, and it looks like we are going to kind of deep dive into that today and see if we can't maybe like peel back the layers a little bit on the whole LA wildfire situation.
Yeah, this episode in particular, it starts off with like a real human element. And instead of just like data and statistics and things like that, it starts off with a story.
Okay.
And it's about this couple, Carlos and Marisol, who they have like a family vineyard
Oh, wow. Okay.
that almost got completely wiped out in the 2017 Skirball fire.
I don't know why, but I never really think about like vineyards being in like fire danger zones, but of course they are like right in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah, they're right there in the thick of it.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, you think about that, like a family vineyard is something that's been in the family for generations, and to see that go up in smoke, that must be just absolutely devastating.
Yeah, and they have a clip in there from Carlos describing the moment that he realized the fire was heading toward the vineyard.
Oh, wow.
He talked about seeing the smoke just like billowing over the ridge. And he
That's
said it wasn't
brutal.
even just about like the land that was at risk.
Yeah.
It was about losing, their family's history and the memories and everything that that land represented to them.
Yeah. That's powerful, man. It really kind of like brings it home. Because you see these fires on the news and, it's tragic and everything. But to really think about it from the perspective of someone who's like right there in it, watching their life's work, their family's legacy just going up in smoke.
Yeah, it's more than just an abstract thing.
Totally.
Yeah.
So, okay, so we've got the human side of it, but I gotta know like the science behind this too. Like, why does LA seem to be constantly battling these wildfires? What is it about that region?
Well, so they bring on this fire ecologist, Dr. Priya Nair,
Okay.
and she says something that I thought was really interesting. She says fire is actually a natural part of that ecosystem. Like those chaparral plants that you see all over LA, they need fire to regenerate.
Oh, so it's not as simple as just saying fire is bad.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
What Dr. Nair is saying is that by trying to put out every single fire, we might actually be making the problem worse in the long run.
Rightly.
Because when you suppress fire, you get this buildup of dry brush and other fuel.
Okay.
And then when a fire does eventually start, you get these massive out of control infernos.
I see. So we're like messing with the natural balance by trying to eliminate fire completely.
Yeah, that's basically it. And then on top of that, you've got climate change, which
Right.
is bringing even warmer temperatures and longer droughts,
Yeah.
which of course, just creates the perfect conditions for even bigger and more intense fires.
So we're basically like stacking the deck against ourselves.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But, it's not all doom and gloom.
Yeah.
The episode also talks about like the resilience of people and communities in the face of these disasters.
Okay, yeah, that's good. I mean, we definitely need some of that, right?
Yeah, so there's this one story about a 17-year-old girl named Leah,
Okay.
and she actually coped with the trauma of the 2020 Bobcat fire through art.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, she painted this big mural at a shelter for people who were displaced by the fire.
Okay.
And it was all about, regrowth and hope and kind of coming back stronger after the fire.
Wow, that's amazing. I love that. Using art as a way to process trauma and find hope in the midst of all that destruction, that's powerful.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminds you that even when these devastating events happen, there's this incredible human capacity to not just survive, but to create something beautiful and meaningful out of the ashes.
Absolutely. And we can't forget about the firefighters who are on the front lines battling these blazes, putting their lives at risk to protect people and property.
Right. And the episode talks to this one fire captain, Elena Cruz, who's actually like on the cutting edge of using technology to fight fires.
Yeah, this is the part where we get into like the drones and the AI, right? Sounds like something out of a science fiction movie.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? But
Right.
it's real. They use drones to get a bird's eye view of the fire,
Right.
which helps them figure out, where to deploy resources
Right.
and how to keep firefighters safe. And they're even experimenting with artificial intelligence to try to predict fire behavior.
Wait, AI predicting fires? How does that even work?
I know it's crazy,
It's,
right?
yeah.
But Captain Cruz was talking about how they feed all this data into the AI, like weather patterns, vegetation types, historical fire data.
Okay.
And the AI can actually analyze all that information and make predictions about where and when a fire might start and how it might spread.
That's wild. I mean, I guess it makes sense if you think about it, but still, it's like mind-blowing that we have the technology to do that.
It is pretty amazing,
Yeah.
but it's important to remember that it's still just a tool.
Right.
It's not a perfect solution.
I mean, AI can be wrong,
Right.
right?
Oh yeah, for sure. there are limitations to the technology, and you know, there's always going to be a need for human expertise.
Right, of course. So even with all this cool technology, it sounds like prevention is still key. What did Captain Cruz have to say about that?
She really emphasized the importance of creating defensible space around homes.
What does that mean exactly?
Basically, it's about clearing out brush trimming trees and getting rid of anything that could easily catch fire.
Okay.
You know, making sure there's a buffer zone between your house and any potential fuel for a fire.
Got it. So it's stuff that people can actually do themselves to protect their homes and their communities.
Exactly. It's not just about waiting for the firefighters to show up. It's about taking proactive steps to reduce the risk.
That's good to know. Because sometimes, you know, when you see those images of these massive wildfires on the news, it feels like there's nothing you can do.
I know what you mean, but you know, even small actions can make a difference. And Captain Cruz also talked about the importance of staying informed, you know, being aware of the fire danger levels in your area and reporting any potential hazards to the authorities. It's all about working together, you know, as individuals and as a community to be prepared and to try to prevent these disasters from happening in the first place.
I like that. It's like a shift in mindset from just reacting to fires to actually trying to prevent them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's really encouraging to see that kind of proactive thinking.
Yeah. It definitely makes me feel a little less helpless. You know, it's not just about sitting back and waiting for the next fire to strike. We can actually do things to make a difference.
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of making a difference, this episode also touches on something that I find really fascinating. It mentions indigenous fire practices.
Oh, yeah, that caught my eye too. Like, what is that all about?
Well, it turns out that indigenous communities in California have been using fire to manage the land for centuries.
Real, like they were intentionally setting fires.
Yeah, but not in a destructive way. They use fire as a tool to clear out underbrush, promote biodiversity, create habitat for wildlife, you know, all sorts of things.
So it's like they had this whole different way of understanding and coexisting with fire that we've kind of lost touch with.
Exactly. And the episode kind of hints that there might be a lot we can learn from these ancient practices.
That's super intriguing. I mean, if they were able to successfully manage fire for centuries, maybe they have some wisdom that we could apply to our modern day fire challenges.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And I think that's a perfect segue into the next part of our deep dive.
Yeah,
We
no.
talked about, you know, the terrifying reality of these wildfires and the science behind them and the technology that we're using to fight them. But now I think it's time to explore this whole idea of ancient wisdom and what it might teach us about tackling this modern day challenge.
I'm in. Let's do it. Okay, so we've got the human element, the science, you know, even like the high-tech stuff that firefighters are using to battle these blazes. But now I'm really intrigued by these indigenous fire practices that you mentioned. Like, it just seems like such a different way of thinking about fire.
Yeah, it really is. It's like a total paradigm shift. For indigenous communities in California, you know, fire, it wasn't the enemy to be conquered. It was like a tool, a partner in managing the land.
So instead of like trying to put out every single fire, they actually used it intentionally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The podcast talks about this thing called controlled burns,
Okay.
where they would basically set small, carefully managed fires to clear out underbrush and prevent that buildup of fuel that leads to those massive, out-of-control wildfires.
Huh. That's kind of like counterintuitive, isn't it? Fighting fire with fire.
I know it sounds weird, but it makes sense when you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, those controlled burns were basically like preventative medicine for the ecosystem.
Okay, yeah.
They kept the landscape healthy and they prevented those mega fires that we see today.
Oh, I see. So it's like they understood that fire is a natural part of the cycle and they worked with it instead of against it.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And it wasn't just about preventing those huge fires either.
What else?
Controlled burns also helped to like promote biodiversity, create habitat for wildlife, and even enhance the growth of certain plants that were important for food and medicine.
Wow. So it was like a much more holistic approach to land management than what we're doing now.
Oh yeah, for sure. They had this deep understanding of the land, the weather patterns, the behavior of fire,
Yeah.
you know, that we've kind of lost touch with.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, like, what if we could somehow bring back that ancient knowledge and apply it to our modern day problems?
Well, actually, there's a growing movement to do just that.
Really?
Yeah. People are starting to realize that maybe these indigenous communities had it right all along and that we can learn a lot from them.
That's awesome. So what's being done?
Well, there are all sorts of initiatives popping up to incorporate indigenous fire practices into modern land management strategies.
Okay.
You know, it's not a simple solution, especially in a place like LA with so much development and urban sprawl.
Yeah.
but there's definitely potential there.
So it's not just about like copying and pasting what they did in the past, right? It's more about adapting those practices to our modern context.
Exactly. And one of the coolest examples the podcast talks about is this partnership between the Karuk tribe and some federal agencies to reintroduce cultural burning in Northern California.
Wow.
They're actually working together to conduct controlled burns on a large scale.
That's incredible.
Not just to reduce wildfire risk, but also to restore the health of the forest and kind of revitalize that traditional ecological knowledge.
I love that. It's like they're weaving together the past and the present, you know, finding a way to move forward that honors those traditional practices, but also embraces modern science and technology.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful example of how collaboration can lead to some really innovative solutions.
So we've got this ancient knowledge of controlled burns. We've got all this modern technology like drones and AI, and we've got this growing awareness of the need for a more sustainable approach to fire management. So where do we go from here?
Well, the podcast ends on a note of cautious optimism, suggesting that, you know, there's a lot of work to be done, but there's also a lot of hope.
Yeah, I'm feeling hopeful too. It's like we've uncovered this hidden history, this different way of relating to fire that maybe could help us chart a better path forward.
And I think that's a perfect segue into the next part of our deep dive. You know, we've explored the immediate impacts and the modern responses, but now I'm really interested in learning more about like the specifics of how those ancient practices are being revitalized and the challenges that people are facing in trying to implement them in a modern context.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm ready for part three. So we're talking about embracing fire, using it wisely like those indigenous communities did for centuries. But how do we actually like make that happen in our modern world?
Well, that's what Embers of LA tries to unpack. And honestly, it's a lot more complicated than you might think. Like one of the biggest things is just changing our mindset. You know, we've been told for so long that fire is the enemy. It's dangerous.
Right, like Smokey the Bear. Only you can prevent forest fires.
Yeah. Exactly. Like every fire is a bad fire. We got to put it out as fast as possible. But to really make this work, we have to start seeing fire as a tool.
Yeah, like a beneficial thing almost.
Right. And then there's the whole practical side of things like controlled burns, you know, doing them safely, especially in a place like LA with houses and people everywhere. It's a logistical nightmare.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, you'd need so much planning and coordination, and you have to like convince people that it's okay to set fires on purpose.
Exactly. And it's not like we can just do exactly what those indigenous communities did hundreds of years ago. You know, the landscape is totally different now.
Right. Way more fragmented with roads and buildings and stuff.
Yeah. So it's not a copy and paste solution, but it doesn't mean it's impossible. The podcast talks about some really cool initiatives that are trying to bridge that gap.
Oh, like what?
Well, one example is this partnership between the Karuk tribe and some federal agencies up in Northern California.
Okay.
And they're actually working together to do controlled burns on a large scale, not just to prevent wildfires, but also to restore the health of the forest and like revitalize that indigenous knowledge about how to manage fire.
I love that. It's like honoring tradition and embracing innovation at the same time.
Totally. And the podcast mentions that there's some similar things starting to happen in Southern California, too.
Oh, really? Like around L.A.?
Yeah, there's this group, the Gabrielino Band of Mission Indians, and they're working to bring back traditional burning practices on their ancestral lands.
That's amazing. It's like these little seeds of change are being planted all over the place.
And it gives me hope, you know, that maybe we're finally starting to move away from that fear-based approach to fire and moving towards something more balanced, more sustainable.
Me too. I mean, this whole deep dive has really opened my eyes to a whole new way of thinking about wildfires.
Yeah, we've gone from being overwhelmed by the problem to actually seeing that there are solutions out there.
It's like we've uncovered this hidden history, this ancient wisdom that could help us find a better way forward.
And for anyone listening who wants to learn more, I definitely recommend checking out the full Embers of LA podcast.
Yeah, it's a great episode.
They go into way more detail on everything we've talked about. Yeah. They even share some resources for how to get involved.
That's awesome, because I think sometimes when we hear about these big problems, it's easy to feel helpless, you know? But this deep dive has shown me that we can actually do things to make a difference.
Totally.
Yeah.
Even small things like learning more, spreading awareness, supporting organizations that are doing good work.
Right. Every little bit helps. So yeah, I think that's a great place to wrap things up for today. It's been an amazing conversation.
Me too.
And thanks to everyone for listening and for joining us on this deep dive into the world of wildfires. We'll see you next time.